I hadn't planned this until we were sitting here going through service beginning this morning, but I thought it might be appropriate if I did a little bit of a self-introduction. Many of you don't know who I am or where I come from or what my background is, so I'll give you a brief 20-minute synopsis. No, I'll make it short. I'm Wisconsin-born and bred. Spent almost the first 20 years of my life in Wisconsin. I began my career, if you will, as a student at UW until Vietnam came along, and then I wound up going and serving overseas for a year. I came back, I spent some time as a machinist. That folded with the auto industry, had a big crash. So I went into the electric utility industry with Commonwealth Edison. I spent 36 years there as a troubleshooter. Climbed a lot of poles, saw a lot of wicked weather. And then 2 years before I retired, that big ogre that comes up, and you're going to see that ogre come up. What do I do after I retire? What's next? I had friends in the electric industry, service people and farm builders and so on that wanted me to come help them. And I thought, no, I've done my stint in the weather. So I started to pray, and I earnestly prayed, courtesy of Way of Christ. Day and night I prayed. And then one evening about midnight or shortly thereafter, I woke up in the middle of the night. We all tend to do that once in a while, but I didn't have a reason that I could figure out. Top to bottom essay, I was okay. So I went out in the living room and got on my knees and I prayed. And this voice came to me. It said, 1 John 13. Okay. I go to 1 John in Scripture and look for the 13th chapter. There isn't one. All right. How about the 13th verse of each chapter that's there? Well, it didn't seem to apply. So then I went to John chapter 13, where it says, first serve. Oh, get off your duff and serve me. Fine. Well, this began partly with the Way of Christ. And a few weeks later, I woke up again in the middle of the night. This is strange. This is getting to be a habit. Go out in the living room, get on my hands and knees, and I pray again, real strong. Show me what direction this is that you want me to go. And just as clearly as I'm standing in front of you right here, the voice says, preach the gospel. Wow, if that's not a matter shift for somebody. So I took on that task. That was in 2004. I went to a little church that asked a lay pastor to come in and speak for them because they didn't have a pulpit filling person at that time. They said, oh, just come in one weekend a month. Okay, Yellow Creek. That went on over the winter. Then they came back and said, well, you can preach as much as you want to, you know, as many Sundays as you want. I'm still working, mind you, at this point. So I took on every Sunday. Then my dear wife and I went for a vacation one June in the following year and came back, and my name was on the sign in little wooden letters. I thought I found myself a job. And last December, I was ordained. God's taken me a long ways. Now, he's given me a new task. Moderator for the district. And it almost makes you shudder. Dana and I went through a lot this last year, and the requirements and the things you do and the people you see, the new faces, the new friends you make, means a lot. Now you know about me. This morning we lit the hope candle. And as you can see, that flame's not great big, it's little and it's tiny. And to me, that kind of represents the hope that a lot of us have. It's weak, and it's tiny, fragile. We live in a world today that's full of tragedy, full of horrific news, full of things that we wished we could just flip a switch and have it stop. Some people in some churches carry that gloom and doom like a mantle around their shoulders, and they can't seem to shake it off. It becomes very troublesome. I've talked to several people who are into that doomsday mode, the second coming as was spoken of here this morning. And boy, it's going to come. It's all the signs are there, until you stop and analyze what it was like when Jesus walked the earth. Some of these same individuals, when that gloom and doom and that faithful hope light gets dim, they bolt and they run to another congregation, hoping that the breath of fresh air will change things and, oh, it'll all be better over there. And they get there, and all of a sudden, over 6-8 months, that same tension builds, because it hasn't gone away. The world hasn't gone away. It's still the same. Well, I believe the truth. I believe the truth. We can and we must, as individuals and as churches, rise above this world of ours. We're told several times in Scripture that we are in this world, but we do not need to be of this world. We must not be of this world. We must ask ourselves, whose are we? Whose are we? I saw a little flyer yesterday on Facebook that reflected the anguish of a young woman lost and asking that question, God, who are you? And God replied, I am. I know. But who is the I am that I am? And God says, I am love, I am mercy, I am patience, and the list went on and on and on. And at the bottom, she asked a second question. She says, and who am I? And God says, you are mine. We are His. Our God, who put everything in creation and set it all into motion, calls us His people. We are His. And that all by itself is enough to give the Christian a different look on this dark and dingy world we live in. Somebody, some entity, calling us His. Paul says we're not to be passive in our life on this planet. He says we're to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You remember that call in Scripture to put on the armor of God? Well, I don't know if these listed here are the armor necessarily, but they're certainly the bindings to that armor. They're what hold it all together. We must treat those in this world, as ugly as this world is, just like Jesus did in the ugliness in His day. Compassion, what is it? It's what's living deep within us, from our heart out, from our soul out toward those around us. Kindness. That's something that goes well beyond ourselves. I can be kind to my spouse, or we can have an argument. I can be kind to my neighbor, or I can turn my back on him. But Paul says, feed the hungry, feed your enemy, clothe them, and you'll heap coals of fire on their head. From Romans 12:20. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Then Paul goes on to say something else in Colossians here that kind of puts a break on our walk. He says, bear with one another and forgive. Now, wait a minute. This person's done me wrong several times over. But he says bear or forbearing to those offenses that are present time, going on right now. We need to coexist with our fellow man as we walk this journey. We only get one trip through this journey, and we need to walk it as Jesus did. We need to forgive. And that word forgive means the same to us as it did to Jesus. Those are past offenses, things that have happened that our poor mind just can't seem to let go. And if we can do that forgiveness, then healing and growth can begin, and that flame can begin to grow. That hope can come back. Forgive as the Lord forgave us. Are these easy? Many of you know people who have stung you something fierce, and it's not easy. It's not simple. It's not something that we just brush off like a duck that comes up out of the water. But we must strive to do so. Think back in Scripture of the tough times that Jesus saw. The lepers, those who begged constantly just for a morsel, just for anything to be given the chance to live one more day. Do we not have that same thing today? Weren't there wars and rumors of wars? Weren't there problems with government? How many times did people think that Jesus was supposed to come along and overthrow the Romans? That was his purpose in life, according to many, which it wasn't. Think back over our lives, over the church's lives, over the years. Go back and read some of the annual conferences from years ago and see the divisional things that occurred. I can recall one where they used to argue over whether or not horses were supposed to have bells on them at the holidays. True statement. So think about the things that we need to get beyond today, tomorrow, next year, and stay whole and wholesome. Paul goes on to make that point in verse 14. He says, this is the call I have been given by God. This is what was given to me as a theme for next year from Psalm 133, the first verse of that psalm. It spells out exactly what God desires for each and every one of us. How very good and pleasant is it when the brethren live together in unity. The 300th year that we celebrated saw the brethren church, the church of the brethren, sit down at the same table. I knew both of the moderators. One of them was a former pastor of mine. And I talked to both of them and I said, isn't it time that we quit doing this and we start doing this? Still waters run deep. I couldn't get it done. How did Christ express his desire for all people? By his love. By his love. Colossians 3:14 says, over all these virtues, the ones that I've mentioned, put on love, which binds them all together in unity. That's the rope, that's the binding, that's the glue that holds it all together. Love is a crowning grace. It covers a multitude of sins. It allows us to forgive. It allows us to go on with adversity. Christ knows everything, as Dana said, everything about us, inside and out, before, during, and after. We're not hiding anything from him. And yet God's undying love for us is like a bright beacon that shines in the darkness of our lives. It brings us out to be Christians It brings us out to be God's people. I'm reminded of the woman caught in adultery and how Jesus' love shone through as each plunk, 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 plop of each stone was dropped to the earth. How his love shone through. I mean, what a testful time. The law said they were in the right. The law said. After Peter denied Christ three times on that fateful weekend, it only took one look from Jesus to tell Peter he still was loved. That God still, through Christ, loved him very dearly. We fret and stew over matters, things that we cannot control. True peace, and I mean true peace, true perfection in Christ can only come from his never-ending love. That's the only way we ever get that. If we love one another, God's love is perfected in us, Romans 13:8. The peace of God was Christ's legacy to his disciples. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." Peace follows love. And in my book, hope follows peace. We're made up of different parts. Scripture tells us some may be hands, some may be ears, some might be eyes, but we're all parts of that one body. And we're drawn together through the unity of Christ's love. We're bound not only by his love for us, but our love for each other. We are to let that peace of Christ rule our hearts because we're called to be one body. Scripture is the source of God's word, the truth. Cover to cover, the truth. Scripture is our reference point. It's our measuring stick. It's what we go to and from to teach and admonish each other. It's the only truth that's constant and forever unfailing. Never changes. Never changes. Verse 15 of that scripture I read this morning ends with a new thought. I like this one because we just passed it. It says, be thankful. Be thankful. We just celebrated the one day of the year that's specifically set aside for thankfulness. And it's interesting to hear what people said around their Thanksgiving table this year and what they're thankful for. And in some cases, because of the gatherings, things get testy, old wounds come up, and sometimes things are said that shouldn't be. And we might ask ourselves, with all the evil and the hurt and the tragedy that's around the world, we wonder, well, what in the world is there to be actually thankful for? What can we come to God and say, I'm really thankful? Until we do a deep inside examination, we have to consider what we've been blessed with. We've been blessed with the church. We've been blessed with the church family. We've been blessed with our children. We've been blessed with our very lives. The ability to take a breath, to smile, to love. That list gets on and on and on if you start taking notes and you start writing it down. And what about our abilities? What about our gifts? Given and by and designed by God to love each other. Everything that he's given us is designed so that we can love each other. He gave us the word as a benchmark. The word is a go-to volume of knowledge, do's and don'ts, should and shouldn'ts, promises kept. Let the word be the true calling for us to be like Christ to ourselves and to all of those around us. Rejoice. Sing songs of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs with gratitude. There's a song in my heart. There's a time for everything and every season. We need to praise God through that voice. They're more than just the feasts of the heathens, the times of revelry. They're a lot deeper and a lot more than just that. They're expressions of God's love for us and our expressions right back up to Him. Our peace is in Him. Our hope is in Him. This comes from our hearts and the very depth of our souls. You can tell when somebody really gets into a hymn, and it doesn't make any difference if it's in a nursing home or in a church or in a hospital bed. When a song that speaks back to God really gets into somebody, it's beautiful no matter what key it's sung in. And finally, the passage ends with that reminder that I stood on before, that all that we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. And finally, we share our unity, our love, our God through bringing back to God in worship. It's our chance to lift it back up. He's been raining it on us all along. Now is the chance that we give it back. This is the first Sunday of the Advent season when we light the hope candle. Satan can never win this world. Scripture tells us that he's not going to win. In the end, God wins. Take that and salt it away. We may go through trials in this life. We may go through that testing. Our iron may need to be sharpened by iron, but we'll be stronger for it. Jesus, through his love, will draw us together in unity and peace and harmony if we let it, if we work at it, if we are forgiving and patient and loving and kind. Remember, we have a birth coming, but further down the line, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Our Lord went to the cross that you and I might have life and have it abundantly. That this journey, this physical journey, is only temporary, but the other one's permanent. Love as God loved you. Amen.